They clinched what the Lord's already been dealing with me on during this meeting. I believe in one of the messages it was stated, and I know this. This is something that most Christians should know. God has to be first. But it is always good. He always wants to remind you. You know, his first commandment was, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And it keeps coming, for me, it keeps coming back to that. There are so many different things that can pull us away, even good things. But for me, I have to hunger and thirst after God first, and all the other things will be taken care of. So I'm going to sing that, and if you want to join in or whatever, just, I like to sing it just to God. This is a song to God. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I love you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee, and I long to worship as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I love you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver, and you're the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee, and I long to worship thee. When he says worship, it means I'm going to feel whatever position or place or purpose he has for me.
Well, I thank the Lord for running out of gas on the way to church. The Lord has a way of getting a hold of us sometimes. As I'm walking next to the road, there aren't too many distractions. I'd like to share a thought with you tonight. I have... His penmanship isn't so good, so I'll tell you what I wrote. Written the word identity on the board. I'm an Elwell. Can't get away from it. Can't change it. And there are certain, I'll call them weaknesses, come along with that last name. And sometimes I'll meet someone who doesn't know who I am, and they'll look at me and go, okay, you're an Elwell. Who's your dad? I look like one. I can't help it. It's part of my identity in my flesh. Yeah. And even some of the things that maybe we'd rather not be, they're in there.
Yeah.
Runs in my blood.
Yeah.
We were driving fairly quickly to try to get to service as soon as we could. Dad made the comment to Donnie, you drive like a Californian. And Donnie said, it's in my blood. Can't help it. That's the portion of what is in there is what makes us up. And there's family that I don't know. People that died before I was born. But much of their genes still live in me and in my children.
Yeah.
And it does identify us.
Amen.
Thought of being an American. I worship with Canadians every weekend. And so I'm the American in the congregation. In my business, I deal with Europeans. In some of our meetings, we have one German, two Swedes, an Englishman, and an American. And I'm identified as the American. And there are certain stereotypes that are attached to me simply because I'm the one from the U.S. Whether they be true or not, that's what they've identified me as. Sometimes our cultures can identify us, where we come from, some of our background, some of the places that we're raised. But I'd like to read you a scripture in John and in the first chapter, because we're to rise above the identities that we've been born with. And God has an identity for us in this world and in this time. He has a definition for who we're supposed to be.
Amen.
And not only does He have an expectation, but He has the ability to fulfill the identity that He wants us to have and to carry. In this place in John, and in the first chapter, just to put your minds in this place, in the 12th verse, it says, "But as many as received Him, to Him gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So in this we find that it's not according to my fleshly desires, it's not according to the way that I was born in my flesh, but this says born of God. Something that He has put in place, something that He has bore out. When you bear something, it creates something. Something comes out of it. And when it says, "I'm born of God," it means I'm going to fulfill the purpose that He put in place.
Right.
This world was born out of the will of God.
Yes.
He said, "Let there be light," and there was light instantly. And there was no other way for it to happen. The light had to come on. The sun had to be formed. The stars were formed because He said, "Let them be there." He said, "Let the earth," He said, "divide."
Right.
And because of the will of God, it must happen.
Yes.
My dad's favorite trick is to take the book and drop it. It's the will of God. The book must drop. It's the laws of gravity, and He spoke them into existence, and you can't stop it.
Yeah,
you may try, you may rail, you may do everything that you can, but because it's the will of God, it will stand.
Yeah.
So when He says that He has given us power to become the sons of God and born of God, it tells me that there is now a power and a capability to be what He's called us to be.
Yes.
To be who He's identified us as.
Yeah.
I think of when Jesus came and He gave His life. Sometimes we hear about the cross, and I love the cross, and the blood of the cross, and I think of what I was before. But if all the blood was able to do was just to cleanse me from what I've done, then we might as well still sacrifice animals where you take them in, and once a year we ask God to forgive us by this blood.
Right.
But the power of this blood, born of the will of God,
amen,
makes a change to not only cleanse me from my sins,
right,
but to keep me from them,
amen,
to make a change. To change the identity of who I am and put my feet on a new path,
right,
to lift me up out of the miry clay and say, "This is my son."
Yes.
Do we find that when we think of Christ and the role that He filled, and He was the Son of God, and Peter knew this, and it was presented to him by the Spirit, do we find ourselves in the same place? This is the calling.
Right.
This is the identity. To be a son of God just as Christ was a son of God. You say, "Well, I'm not Jesus." Well, the same Spirit that abode with Him, that taught Him, that had instructed Him, is the same Spirit that God has given us to represent Him, to be who He is, to show and identify to the world that this is God in the flesh, now in our time, in our generation. Sometimes we look at the circumstances and the way that things are, and we think, "Oh, even in this time, even in this dark hour, the darker the hour, the brighter the light shines."
Amen.
The greater demonstration of power.
Yes.
When He said, "Greater things will ye do than this," maybe He meant it's going to be darker in your time. And the demonstration of my power to keep you from sin, to establish you, to make you my child, that you'll be identified as the Son of God, demonstrated and shown. Born of God.
Amen.
Oh, what a heritage.
Yeah.
What a family name. What a estimation.
Yeah.
We sing the song, it talks about from the door of an orphanage to the house of a king.
Yeah.
Oh, what does that mean? It means I have access to the very same kingdom that I've been brought into.
Yeah.
It means that I have the key to get in. Well, the one brother last night talked about the vault and the man with the key. Yeah, when I was a pauper and on the street and in the orphan, I had no ride and no access.
Right.
But because of the will of God,
yes.
Born of His desire,
yes.
By the blood of His Son, He says, come in, this is now your house.
Right.
You live with me.
Yes.
And all that I have represent me.
Yes.
When you go out, you come from my house.
Right.
In the old days, used to be that they would call you by the place you were from.
Uh-huh.
The house you were from.
Yeah.
This is so-and-so from the house of Elwell.
Uh-huh.
And you were to stand up. You were to represent the name of the house that you were of. To not bring disgrace upon it.
Uh-huh.
To not conduct myself in such a way that people would think less
uh-huh.
of the house that I was from.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a son of God.
Amen.
Now I bear a name.
All right.
Now I bear representation.
Yeah.
One place it says we're ambassadors. Means I'm from a country to represent where I'm from and something to offer. Oh, our identity. Something to offer.
Yes.
Oh, you don't like the country you live in. Sometimes I tease them in Canada. Oh, you live, all the Canadians live right across the border. Well, this big old country, but all of you are clustered as close to the U.S. as you can get. Yeah, just come on over and become an American. Oh, let me tell you about my country. They're not too interested in that. But we've got people around us that want a new country, that want a new place, that want a new identification. Oh, it's something to be transcended, if you will, to be lifted from this place of rags unto riches.
Yeah.
Philippians in the second chapter. You pray for me. I need the Lord's help tonight. I need it every night. But any time that He sees fit, I tell him sometimes, Lord, it's your fault if I mess it up. You call me, it's in your hands. Philippians in the second chapter. Like to think about being a son of God. But this is where it starts. This is where our identity starts. This is where the beginning. Here in the second chapter of Philippians, here in the first verse, it says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded,
yeah.
having the same love, being of one accord and one mind,
yeah.
being of one identity,
right.
being of one mindset.
Yes.
Yeah, we are what we think. You've heard the phrase, we are what we eat. Yeah, what goes in, that's what we're made up of. What you think of is what's in your heart.
Yeah.
You dwell your mind on things, that's what's going to come into your heart. You dwell on negativity, you dwell on the things and the faults and the problems, that's what you're going to be.
That's
right. What's going to reside in your heart, and that's going to be your makeup. It's what you're going to digest. It's what's going to become your cells and your flesh. And ultimately, it'll kill you.
Yeah.
But if we're able to dine on something that is beyond,
yeah.
letting our mindset be, our identity be something that is above, our minds and our eyes and our desires and the things that our heart goes after is something of a higher value.
Yeah.
Something that goes beyond what men can do and what men have failed at over and over again. Being of one accord and one mind. What is this one mind? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory,
yeah.
but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said I was the Son of God. I thought you said I get to live in the big house, in the kingdom. I get to live here with the King. I don't have to live out there in the shanty anymore. I have to live out there where everyone else is. Oh, but wait a minute. It says esteeming each other better than themselves.
Yeah.
Look not every man on his own things,
yeah.
but every man also on the things of others.
Yeah.
What an identity now. What is our world about today? It's about me, isn't it? It's all about ourselves, and they teach our children at a young age, look out for yourself.
Yeah.
It's the most important thing. No one else is going to give you anything. No one else is going to help you. You must push as hard as you can to push yourself forward. But this scripture tells us to esteem other better than ourselves, and to not look on my own things, but to look on others, not with a critical eye, but with the idea of I have something to give you,
oh, yeah.
something to offer. What did it say here? Look not every man on their own things. But the fifth verse says, let this mind be in you.
Yeah.
Let this be your identity.
Yeah.
Let this be what you think about.
Yeah.
Let this be the common denominator of where your thoughts and your heart is focused.
Amen.
And He gave us the example, which was also in Christ Jesus, the very Son of God.
Amen.
One scripture says the forerunner, the firstborn, the one who established the path and was the very first begotten Son of God has established the path, and this is the path of humility of heart, humility of mind, of esteeming those that are around us as better than me, as more capable than me, as ones that God is able to use in a greater way than He used me, ones that are able to witness and testify and be able to come in contact in an even greater measure, desiring these things. It says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. All laid himself down. All they clucked their tongues and they wagged their heads. Who is this man? Eats with publicans and sinners. He's a wine bibber. He's this and he's that. But the important thing was that he was the identity. He was God in the flesh, walking with man, representing who God was, instructing, teaching, living, showing. His light shone out to those that are around him. He was not held in place by the flesh. He was able to overcome because he identified in his mind was the mind of God. It says here, let this mind be in you. If this is the requirement of the very Son of God, is it not our requirement then?
Yes.
The beginning is lowliness of mind, humbling myself and dying out to myself and my thoughts and my ideas. We've heard a lot in this meeting about the corn of wheat falling and dying. We've heard a lot about drilling down to an individual relationship with God. But it starts here that we don't esteem ourselves, that our identity is not how we look at ourselves as lifted up. Oh, I'm this or I'm that, but I understand. But by the grace of God, I'm the one that's out there on the corner. By the grace of God, I'm the one that hasn't had the opportunities that He's brought in my life. Oh, you can have the same thing. See, because I was once in the same place you're in.
Yeah.
And it's only by the power and the grace of God I'd be there again. It says he made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man.
Yeah.
Oh, to serve. You want to be great in the kingdom of God? You want to have an identity that shines? You want to represent who God is? Become a servant.
Yeah.
Get your hands dirty.
Yeah.
Oh, pull out of your way sometimes. Take the time. Get involved. When there's people that are hurting, it's so easy sometimes. Well, it's not the one that's in my path. Oh, the good Samaritan observed something and he moved out of his way and he took someone under his wing and he loved him and he cared for him. He has the identity. Oh, there were those that had the profession. There were those that should have been the ones that stopped and they crossed on the other side. Not interested in messing with that. Oh, our identity tonight, to be a servant of the Most High. This is what God has called us to. There's a reward to this, and we'll get to this in a moment. But you can't get the rest without starting in this place and keeping ourselves in this place. One place Paul said he gave himself a punch under the eye, kept himself beat down and under, kept himself in a place that God could bless him and anoint his life, didn't allow himself to get lifted up, no matter what he saw. Oh, Paul did some wondrous works. But he didn't let them affect his spirit and his heart of who he was before God. He identified that this was God working through me. And if you look upon me, look upon Him.
Yeah.
Sometimes we can see the results and sometimes we can't. But it doesn't change our identity. As servants of God, endeavoring to do what He would have us to do, sometimes He allows us to see the result.
Yeah.
And then you can't get lifted up. And sometimes you can't see the result and you can't get your head hanging low. Stay in the identity of who God wants you to be. Stay as a representation of His Spirit, of His trueness, of His righteousness, of His purity, living a life that is holy and pure. But it starts here as a servant, made in the likeness of men and being found in the fashion of man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. We all have a cross tonight. We all have a cross to bear. If you haven't had to crucify yourself, check your identity. Because the identity of Christ was most exemplified by His death on the cross, when he rose from the dead and his blood was able to cleanse every sin of every man, who do you identify Christ as? Yes, he's the Son of God, and that inspires me. But the most precious thing to me was that he shed his blood for me and he died on a cross and I might have a relationship with God. This is who Christ is to me. He's my Savior. He's my King. He's the intercessor. He's the one that can look at my heart and reach down there and touch things that no man can. How did he accomplish this? It wasn't just that he was the Son of God. He always was.
Yeah.
But he became obedient to the death of a cross.
Yeah.
Crucified his flesh. Laid himself down, and it says that God might exalt him, might give him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Why? Because of who he was and who he is.
Yeah.
Oh, we want people to be drawn to God tonight. We want to have an impact in the places where we are. We want to see a difference in our congregations, in our families, and those that we're around. Die on the cross and you'll start to see a representation. Because God will lift up and represent that this is my child. He'll exalt his name. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. How do we do this? It's not by lifting ourselves up, but it's by dying on the cross. It's by sacrificing my time and my money, sacrificing the different things that I may have at my disposal for those that are around me. Not that I would want something given in return, but that I might represent, that I might have the identity, not in the eyes of men, but that he might look at me as his child. This is my son. This is one who has listened to my word and to my instruction and has died out to himself and followed it.
Yeah.
Oh, he said, at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow. Every tongue shall confess. There isn't any tongue that's going to be able to be held in that day. There isn't anyone that's going to be able to, who is this man?
Right.
It's going to just come bubbling out, thou art the Christ.
Yeah.
Every knee shall bow. Won't be able to stand in his presence. He continues on here in the 12th verse, and he says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. Their identity was not the followers of Paul. Their identity was not Paulites or Apollosites. That was not their identity. He said, not in my presence only. Sometimes we can look to men. I think of... been around some people some that a man established himself as the one that created the identity for his people. Established for them what they should be and what they shouldn't be. And they lived in fear of this man. They terror in their hearts when they'd be around him that they might displease him in some way. And to lift up themselves and try to live to this. Oh, but Paul said, not in my presence, but in the presence of God. Not in the presence of men. Oh, if your motivation tonight, if your identity is in what men have said, there's something so much deeper. There's something they'll carry beyond the eyes of those that are around. I heard someone say one time, you ought to conduct yourself as if I was there all the time. Would you do that if I was there? Oh, there's something deeper than that tonight. God is able to instill an identity in us to change who we are. To give us the power to live a life that is holy and pure. When no one's looking. When I'm all by myself. Why? Because I love Him. Because I sacrifice myself. Because I become His child. And I respect and treasure this relationship and this place that He's brought above everything else. Oh, as the Son of God, Christ, you weigh it out. There wasn't, when the devil took Him up and tried to tempt Him, He didn't have anything to offer. What does the devil have to offer you tonight? Doesn't have anything that God hasn't already given you. This world is already under your dominion. He's already placed us above it. All things are under your feet by His power. What does the devil have to offer tonight? Oh, he likes to hold things up, this and that and this and that. Change who you are. Oh, may our motivation tonight go beyond those that are around us.
Amen.
That we might have something in our heart that lives inside. It talks about the well of water springing up from the inside. I don't get wet because of you. I get wet because of what's inside.
Amen.
What's shining out. Yes, it might get you going too.
Right.
But it's because of what God has put in our heart for ourselves, identified as His children.
Yeah.
Oh, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your identity.
Yeah.
Work out what's important to you.
Yes.
What is it that you treasure the most? salvation, the value of it. Christ died for it. What are you going to weigh in the balance against it? Lord, what do you want from me? I'll give you anything.
Yes.
Just make me your child. Give me this identity. Call me your son.
Yes.
There isn't anything, Lord, I would hold back. I have fear and trouble. We had a message about fearing God. To have a fear and respect for who He is. Oh, so when the Lord comes and begins to work in my heart and reveal things to me, take it, I don't want it, there's no interest in it. Fear and trembling before God, for it is God that worketh in you. Oh, it's not man. My identity is not the man that worketh in me, but the very power of God demonstrated in my life, that when I face the struggles, when I face my flesh, and understand that for me, my battles have been more inside than on the outside.
Yeah.
It usually comes down to what's inside our heart. It comes down to the way we're made. It comes down to maybe the way we were raised, and maybe I'm an American or I'm from here because it's an I'm an Elwell, but the fight's on the inside.
Yeah.
It is God that both will. He desires to give us this identity. Wants us to be His child and His son. Wants us to be a clear representation of who He is. Galatians in the 4th chapter, we have it a little different way here. 6th verse says, "And because ye are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now it says, wherefore thou art no more a servant."
Right.
Oh, we just heard to take on the mind of Christ. Uh-huh. To become as a servant. To lay ourselves down. The sacrifice of ourselves. To serve and to honor those that are around us. You know, when you serve someone, you honor them. When you tell them, come and eat, and I'll wait to eat, and I'll go get your food. What are you? You're respecting them. You're honoring them. You're giving them a place of respect and prestige, if you will. If we'll do this, no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Oh, this is something that now God does. As we take on the mind of Christ, as we humble ourselves and become a servant in His likeness, we become the sons of God. We become identified and revealed as His child. I can't make myself a son of God. And I go in your family. I want to be a rich. I'm a rich now. You have to adopt me. You have to take me in. I can't become just what I want to be. It takes God by His will and by His power. And as I yield myself and I take on the mind of Christ, having the bowels of compassion and mercy for those that are around me, oh, I become not only a son, but an heir. An heir.
Yeah.
Oh, part of the bloodline now. Now all that God has, it's my inheritance. Oh, you want to talk about a heritage. You want to talk about riches that belong in the family. You want to talk about something that is a part of our life now. There are things in the Elwell background I don't want to have any part of. But this family has some things that I'm interested in making a part of me. And as an heir of God, His, it means that what He has is bestowed upon me. Oh, how be it then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years, and I am afraid of you, lest I bestowed upon you labor in vain. Some of the things that Paul dealt with. Some of the places that he dealt with. One place he said they were zealously affected. There is a place for God to identify within us. But it is this connection with God. It is this representation of Him in my heart. I cannot take unto myself to represent God by my own strength and by my own power. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? That I can't make myself holy. I can't go obtain the laws and follow them and say, now that I've followed the law, I'm holy. But it's by God's inspiration in my heart, identified by Him as my son, because I have humbled myself, I've taken His Spirit into my life, and I'm identified as His son, living in and out of me in this world.
Yeah.
I turn you back to the weak and beggarly elements, the things that didn't satisfy. Oh, the enemy has so many things. Can you imagine? I think of sometimes a prodigal son. I was a prodigal son once. And I understood what drew him. Because he had never maybe been in the pig pen. That's how I saw it in my mind. The Lord inspired it to me. Because I was raised in a good, solid home. Yeah. I was given much understanding just in the head and in the teachings that I was around. Yeah. So there was some allure to what it was like to take what I have and to go out. Uh-huh. But once you've been there, once you've experienced it, it doesn't have any allure any longer. When you've had the heartache and the tears and the separation. I remember the image that the Lord brought to my mind when I came back to Him. I felt like a little boy whose knees were ripped out in his jeans. Yeah. His clothes were all torn. His hands are dirty. Tears are running down his face. And I always had a dirty face when I was a boy. You know, as Donnie or Dad. Tear streaks in it. Saying, Lord, I messed up. Lord, I played where I shouldn't have played. Yeah. Been where I shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
But it's the mercy of God to take us from these places.
Yeah.
To restore again. What did it say the prodigal son's dad did?
Uh-huh.
Oh, he went out there and his arms were like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, the enemy would tell us once you've been here, you can't ever make it back.
Oh,
what you once had, God doesn't have it for you any longer.
Oh,
you've lost your identity tonight. Maybe no one knows. Maybe only you and the enemy.
Oh, Lord.
God has His arms stretched out.
Yeah.
Be my child. Be my son. I'll kill the fatted calf. There's a reason Jesus said that heaven rejoiced more over one than the 99 that were still in the fold.
Yeah.
All of heaven, all of the angels, all of these that have gone on, looking on and seeing the redemption, the renewal. Heard about redemption and renewal on the first meeting of this service. Resurrection.
Yeah.
Bringing back to life again. Don't let the enemy make you think you've got to stay in the weak and beggarly elements.
Amen.
And certainly don't desire it. Seek after the freedom and identity of what God has for us.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians in the 2nd chapter. Starting in the 11th verse. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
Yeah.
But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man.
Yeah.
Do you know me tonight? You only know what I've presented to you.
Yeah.
Really. Even my wife, to a certain extent, only knows me as much as I've opened myself to her.
Yeah.
There can be things that I've kept inside that I've never shown her.
Uh-huh.
And it's the same with all of us tonight. With God, the only Spirit, the only one that knows God is His very Spirit. The Spirit of kin knows who kin is. You may not know, you may not be able to see it, I may not even always be able to totally see it, but the Spirit of who I am knows who I am, understands it. The Spirit of God knows who God is, knows His identity, knows His attributes, knows His personality. Knows the way that He is made, the way that He will react, the things that He's made up of. And this is teaching us that the very Spirit of God, the very essence of God, has been sent to dwell in our hearts, to teach us, to make us, represent, to live out of us the very essence of who God is. You can't take this relationship to the depths and to the full identity until His Spirit lives in us.
Amen.
Until He can represent and to teach us who He is by His Spirit.
Amen.
To control and to lead us and to guide us and to give us the power that His Spirit might overcome those things that might come out of the bottle, if you will.
Amen.
That He'd be able to represent who He is.
Amen.
It's not something that can become by our strength. What does this Scripture say? It's foolishness unto the spiritual or unto the fleshly man.
Right.
Unto my flesh.
Yeah.
Talk about what the identity is to be a child of God. And I'll tell you, that's foolish in my flesh.
Oh.
Slap me on the cheek and I turn the other one. You got to be kidding me. Why would I do that? You asked me for my coat, and I got to give you my cloak also? Why would I do that? They're mine, and I might need them. Even if I got many of them, they might be different colors. Our flesh has so many reasons why it doesn't make sense. But when the Spirit of God comes in and He's able to witness to our heart, to instruct us and teach us of what it means to be His child, then the identity is clear. It rings true. And we give the coat. We give the cloak. Oh, you're walking a mile. I want to walk with you a second mile. Not because I have to, but because the Spirit that is within me compels me to walk with you because I'm His son and I'm His child. You can't fake it. You can't, because it only comes by the power of His Spirit.
That's right.
It's going to come out. And I'll tell you this tonight. I felt like the Lord inspired me with this. If you've had failures, if you've struggled to live in a place of victory, I want to tell you tonight to not give up. Don't call it what it's not. Don't stand and say, I'm victorious over everything. But don't give up. There's something wrong, but God's working on you. I can promise you that tonight. He hasn't thrown up His hands and said, oh, you failed me 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 times. How many times have we been through this? Don't do it any longer. Don't let your failures identify you tonight. But understand that God desires to give you the fullness of His Spirit to make you victorious, to be a clear and true identity of who He is. Don't let the enemy tell you it's not for you. Don't let him tell you you've been too far, or your upbringing was too bad, or this or that, or this or that. The devil has so many excuses. Keep trying. Keep pressing. Keep continuing on. Keep lifting yourself up and keeping your eyes on and say, Lord, I failed again, but we're going to keep trying until I find what you have for me. Seek after it and search it. It might not come in a day. I mean, it's not the wonder pill. You come take it and everything goes away. Sometimes it's by labor and by effort and sweat and tears and pulling out. And finally, the Lord, I promise you will bring the victory because His Word promised it to us. He guaranteed it. And if His blood doesn't have the power to keep us from our sins, it doesn't have the power to even cleanse us from our sins. The power of Christ, the power of His Spirit, it's been given to us to have a clear and a true identity. Don't water it down. Don't make it less than it should be. But keep striving until you've found that pure place.
Amen.
God will give it to us tonight. He said He would. Here in Colossians in the 3rd chapter. Talks about the elect of God. His children. Colossians in the 3rd chapter and in the 12th verse says, put on therefore as the elect of God, as the identity of God, as God in the flesh in this world, put on these things, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. This is the identity of God. And if we're not there, don't say it just because it's not available any longer. The power still stands in our time and in our place. And this is the identification. And I want to preach this above where we can get to, because I believe that the grace of God is able to carry us through every struggle and every trial. I believe that the grace of God is able to meet the needs that are in our lives, and that we might give a clear representation.
Amen.
As a son of God. Bowels of mercies. Do you know what the common denominator to this is, I find, is when you begin to look at people and see yourself in the same light. It's when I'm able to recognize what my own needs were. I have to be kind because I wanted God to be kind to me. I have to have bowels of mercy because I needed bowels of mercy for me. It's been I take on the form of a servant when I esteem others higher than myself. It's the foundation of the identity of a child of God is a humble heart. We heard about the broken and a contrite spirit. Lord brings some things sometimes to break us, to make us contrite. Why? That I might see that in light of when I look at those that are around me. Might recognize that if it weren't for God's grace, I'd be just like it. And maybe there's some things in there I haven't seen yet. Everybody else has seen them and I haven't. And you've been kind to me. You've been long-suffering to me. But I don't know anything about it because I didn't know it. I can promise you tonight, especially if you're married, that someone's being long-suffering with you.
Yeah.
You may not even know it, but they are.
Amen.
It's the same calling. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Yeah. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye.
Yeah.
If any man have a quarrel against any.
Uh-huh.
Had an experience when I was young. Somebody didn't treat me right. I forgave them. It wasn't that hard. But I had some family members that struggled a little bit more with that. Wasn't even them that it affected, but it was someone they loved. If there be a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness.
Yeah.
So we start with a humble heart.
Amen.
Humbleness of mind. Esteeming others greater than ourselves. And then we have all these attributes of God in between. Fruit of the Spirit. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering. But if you want to take the oil, if you will, if you want to take the aura, it's the spirit of charity and love to those that are around us. It's the way, I heard it put this way once and it stuck with me. It means that everything comes in has to go through that love, and everything that goes out has to go through that love. It changes my words. It changes my perspective. It changes my thoughts. It makes everything else so much easier when the Lord has given us this spirit of charity, this spirit of love. You love something. I love a lot of things. Love my children. I love a cool evening. I love my wife. I love God. There's room for a lot of love in our heart. When the Lord said for us to charity that I would for my children, for all those that are around me. You notice sometimes it's easier to cut some room for your children. It just is, because I love them so much, and I see myself in them. Maybe more. Yeah, I'll just like that. Hang in there, you'll make it. And then somebody else's kid does the same thing. Oh, there goes that guy's kid again. Always doing that again. The same love. The same honest, divine care and concern. That's what love is. I love my children. I care for them and I have concern for them. The same identity of God's children. We have the same charity and divine concern for one another.
Amen.
It's the bond of perfectness. The bond of completeness. Means it doesn't need anything else. Don't have to fix all your problems. Don't have to go straighten you out. Just love you, just like you are. And I trust that God is able to witness and to move you. And I'll tell you, if we're all striving to have this kind of experience and this kind of representation of who God is, He'll be able to change us. He'll be able to move and work in our hearts and our lives. I'd like to turn over here to 2 Timothy in the first chapter. In the 7th verse, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love," or "but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." The identity of His Spirit. Not the spirit of fear in the light of all that the enemy brings. Do you know that we can have a motivation of fear, but it doesn't last? We can try to serve God out of fear, and sometimes I know that God uses times to bring people to Him. I think of if a plane is going to crash. There's a lot of fear and a lot of praying. Sometimes that's the start. But it goes much deeper than that then. The spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Yeah.
And then I apply this to my own life, because that's who I'm responsible for. that I have the power to overcome Ken, that I have the power to fulfill the calling that he's placed in my life, that I'm not afraid of what he's teaching and what he's leading and what he's bringing me to. Spirit of love for all that he's doing and going to do for those that are around me. And I have a sound mind. Mind that is clear. Understanding. God's wisdom. The things that he teaches us are not convoluted and twisted and hard to follow. They're usually very simple and very basic. And they come down and they take root the spirit of power, of sound mind, and of love. The identity of God's children and of his spirit. Think of sometimes we can carry different perceptions, different things that we might be afraid of what God is going to call us to or what it's going to mean to be his child. The devil can bring all sorts of thoughts and ideas that if you follow this, this is where you're going to be. And if you follow after this, you're going to have to clear this up. And you're going to have to face this person. Or you're going to have to go make this right. And he brings all the fears and the doubts and the things that would distract us to not reach the intimate level with God that he desires us to have. We can start with God a certain direction, a certain way. And then he may bring things for us to take care of, to go reconcile. Yeah. And then when he was talking there in Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount, he told them to leave their gift. This was the beginning of the message of salvation to them. To go and to reconcile and to make some things right and then come back and to give themselves. If I know that there are things that God is wanting me to take care of, it's going to be hard for me to bear the identity of him until I have come and taken care of those things. Lord, how can I come and say, make me everything that you want me to be, but I'm going to hold these things back. But I'm not going to allow, I can't take those steps because of what people will think. Or because maybe I've served the Lord a long time and it means I have to go back and show that I had some things on hand that I shouldn't have had. It can be hard in these places, but this is where he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and the ability to fulfill what he wants us to be able to let that work be accomplished that he desires to work in our life. One aspect of this, I tell the congregation at home sometimes, and our relationship with God and our desire to draw close to him, learn to fall in love with God. It's not just he is a supreme being and we see him as out there, but to fall in love with who he is, with his makeup, with all that makes God the identity of who he is. Because when we begin to love the justice, when we begin to love the purity, the long-suffering, Jonah didn't care so much for the long-suffering of God. You should kill him. You said you're going to, and now you're sparing him. Didn't care for the long-suffering. But when I begin to fall in love with God, with who he is, then I begin to reflect the same beauty of who God is. I begin to want those same things in my life. If I begin to fall in love with God's long-suffering, I become long-suffering. I begin to lift up and to value the attribute of a spirit in that place. Begin to let it minister through my life because it's a part of God that I've fallen in love with. It's the same in a marriage. I thought there's parts of my wife that I just love. I love all my wives. She's not even here to defend herself. I'm not going to get myself in trouble. But there are things that you just love about a person. But then you start to really esteem those things or really appreciate that. And you cultivate it then and give an opportunity for that. I like how you did that. Yeah. It's the same in our relationship with God as I'm in reflection, as I'm his flesh in this world. As I begin to love who he is and his identity. is going to reflect and be valued in my life.
Yeah.
Galatians in the 5th chapter, and Lord willing, we'll finish here. 13th verse says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty of identity as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Tonight, if you find yourself, you desire greatly to be able to ring a clear testimony, but you're not able to do the things that you would, that you're overcome, that God has something for us to be able to fulfill. But when He gives us then He gives us a responsibility to then walk in His Spirit.
Yeah.
To walk with Him. As we said, to fall in love with Him. If He's given me His Spirit and He's filled me with who He is to direct me and lead me, and I find myself in places where my flesh is lifted up, where the devil is able to work and he's able to accomplish and he's working and I find myself in such a battle that I've lost sight, that I'm no longer communing, no longer reading, no longer praying, and beyond just reading and praying, but truly communing and walking in the Spirit. How can I expect then for that Spirit to have the power to overcome? It puts a responsibility on us.
Yeah.
That as the Lord has bestowed this upon us, to then walk in His Spirit.
Amen.
To commune with Him and be close to Him. It says, "But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." It means that my identity is going to be able to ring true. That I'm not bound by the things that I was once bound by. The law of the flesh. When I was out from under the dominion of God, when I was on my own, I am bound by the laws of the flesh. I have no power to change myself. And as much as men may go to motivational things and we're going to change who we are and we're going to rah-rah each other, you cannot change the nature of a man. You cannot. But in this place, if you walk, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, that are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." And I'll draw our mind to the Lord's Sermon on the Mount when He said, "When you have heard of days of old, there were things you didn't do with your hands. You no longer murder, but now I say don't hate your brother in your heart." And we look at this and say, "Well, I've never done that, I've never done that, I've never done that, never done that." But when the action is in the mind and the heart, then I find myself still doing the works of the flesh.
Right.
Of which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, and this is the fearful part, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There's no way to sugarcoat this tonight, but the identity of God is a pure life. There isn't room for sin in a life before God. And as much as the devil may try to make quarter and space, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And understand tonight when we talk about sin, this is a willful separation. God has come and revealed to your heart that this thing is not right. And I have chosen to overlook that. The separation is going to happen. Now I may find that in my life, things come along. My bottle gets shook up. I won't pour water on the floor like Donnie. But things start to be revealed. Now I have to deal with these things. And if I leave them, then I'm going to find myself with not the true identity. It'll be a departure from the image of what God wants me to be. What carefulness, what zealousness, what clearing of yourselves, what vehement desire. That my testimony rings true. And He hasn't left it to us our own strength and our own power, but by His power, by His might, He's given us the Spirit of power. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness and goodness and faith, meekness and temperance, and against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Yeah.
May the Lord help us at our identity tonight. Be the image of God's Son.
Amen.
To be His child. A representation in our actions and in our words of who He is. That we might bear out in this life. In our time. You heard this phrase before, it's your time. It's your time. It's your time to shine. It's your time to reveal and to demonstrate that God is alive in our generation, in all that the devil has devised and configured and sprung on men. It's our time to shine and to live the true identity of His children. We heard some last night about what's in a name and some of the things that we want God to do for us in our churches and in our congregations. This is a big part of it right here. Because when we begin to have the true identity of a child of God, of a saint of God, demonstrated and lived out of our life, it's going to draw men unto Him. I'm not ready to close the curtain and say in the last days there's only a few left. I'm not ready for that. And it's not our... It's a defeatist attitude. I'll just tell you, if we just hang our heads and say, well, no one wants to know,
that's right.
Keep shining the light.
Amen.
Keep being the true identity of His child.
Yes.
And you, the Lord will do the rest of the work.
Yes, He will.
The Lord will make the visitation true. The Lord will allow those that need to see His identity and who He is and His children
Amen.
Shine forth.
Yes.
You pray for me. I have needs in my life like everyone else. And I'm going to go home from this meeting and the devil's going to beat me over the head and chase me around the stump. But if you'll pray for me that by the Lord's help I want to be faithful and to always bear the identity of His Son.
Amen.